what we're going to be looking at through this week. It's a big topic. There's lots to look at. And I want to try, and by God's grace, to keep it simple and to keep it practical, all right? So I'm hoping that you've been praying and you've been asking God to speak to your heart. And I'm trusting the Lord will. I like camps for that reason, because I've often seen God speak to young people's hearts and young people make good decisions for the Lord. All right, and that's what we're praying, that God will speak to your heart and he'll show you something. But Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to read two passages in Hebrews chapter 11. And once we've read, we'll pray. How long do we have in an evening session? I haven't been told that either.
An hour.
An hour? You sound disappointed. You want longer? No. All right. We've got an hour tops, max. All right. We're done by 8 o'clock. I'm not going to go for an hour. All right. I know you're tired. And we'll make sure we ease into it, okay? Hebrews chapter 11, though, verse 1. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's go down now to verse number 23. And this is, Lord willing, the person in the Bible that we want to look at and learn some lessons from. His name is Moses. Who's heard of Moses before? Everyone here knows who Moses is? What was Moses probably most famous for? What do you think? Yes. The Red Sea. I reckon he was pretty famous for that. Yep. Anything else? Being given the Ten Commandments. There's a lot of things that people know about Moses. That's good to hear. What else? He met God on the mountain. Yes, he's famous for a lot of things, isn't he? He was famous for leading the nation of Israel, the children of Israel at that point, to the promised land. He didn't get to go in there. But it was something of a pilgrimage, wasn't it? It was a kind of a journey through the wilderness, and that's what we want to look at over the next couple of days. Let me just read about Moses. Verse 23, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyeth the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned." Amen. Can we just pray? Father, thank you for the day. Father, I thank you for every single person who's here tonight, every young person who's set aside the week to come and to learn more about you, to more about the Word of God, to learn more about themselves. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would minister to every heart. Pray you'd quieten our hearts at this time. Pray we would not be distracted by things in our lives. Father, I pray we'd focus on your word. May we, Lord, at the end of this evening session, be able to say we've learned something. And we'd give you all the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look over the next few days. As I said tonight, I want to lay a bit of a foundation for where we're going to go. But I want to look at what a pilgrim's journey, or perhaps a pioneer's journey, would be more relevant to us. We understand, has anyone looked at the history of Australia in school yet? Have you looked at the pioneers? Amazing stories, isn't it? How they went out into the bush and they cut their way into the bush and they cleared the land and all those things. Amazing. And what we see today is largely a result of what they did. It would have been very, very hard times. Very difficult times. But you know, in life, there's a start, and there's the middle part, and then there's the destination, isn't there? That's how it works. Every single person in life is on a journey of some sort. Now, we're not going to take the time tonight to look at that so much, but just to make us aware that there is a journey that everybody is on in life. You're walking through life day by day. You say, well, that's pretty simple. It is, but sometimes you need to recognize that there's a start, there's a middle part, and then there's the finish. You know, it's very, very important what you do in your life. It's very important which journey you're on. Very important how you start. You see, how you start in life will determine where you finish. How you live your life will determine how you finish. And you might think right now at your age, you might say, well, I'm only 10 years of age. Is that so important that I need to think about the end? About the finish? Do you know that I haven't yet seen in school or in university a single course, a single subject which prepares people to die? Every course tells people how to live. I think it'd be about time in our education that there was a subject which taught people about dying. Because everybody's going to die. I'm not here to scare you tonight. I'm not here to give you nightmares. I'm just here to talk about reality. And we need to think about these things from a young age. I can remember when I was a young kid, and I used to think about those sort of things. It used to scare me to death. Half, anyway. I didn't quite die. But I tell you, it's important that we think about the serious things of life. You know, life isn't just about having fun. Life isn't just about games. Life isn't about, you know, you only live once, that kind of a thing. You know, when people tell me, you only live once, as if you should just live it up and have fun, I say this in return. I say, yes, but you only die once. Yes, you may only live once, but you will only die once. Very, very important that we are mindful of these things. Now, I want you to think about this. I've said this a few times before to different groups. But did you know that this week is a divine appointment from God? Do you recognize that there will never be a time like this in your life ever again? Never again will there be this group of people in the same meeting. Never again will be this same group of people with the same opportunity to make decisions. I mean, we ought to take this very, very seriously, okay? I'm not messing around. This is very serious. And I hope that you've come here to have some fun. I really do. In fact, I know that Cam has organised a pretty full schedule. There's a lot of games and all those sort of things. But let me tell you, this is the most important part of the camp. When the Word of God gets opened, and not because of me speaking, it's got nothing to do with me, it's got everything to do about God. and God wanting to speak to you. And I hope and trust that you'll recognize that this time in your life is of utmost importance to you paying attention and you recognizing where you're at in your life. You say, well, I'm only 10, I'm only 15, I'm only 18. Maybe you're one of the adults here tonight, I don't know. But you need to recognize that it's a divine appointment with God, and he's going to want to make, he wants you to make some decisions for him this week. And whatever you sense that the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you about, I trust that you'd be open enough to talk to someone about it. Now, some of you, I'm sure, are quite shy. You don't feel very confident in talking, perhaps, to an adult. Maybe you need to talk to your leader in the dorm or wherever it is. I don't know how it all works here, but talk to someone who you trust and say, look, I need to talk about some things. I've heard some things that are really important. And at this point in my life, I don't want to miss out on making some good choices in life. Very important. You say, how does this journey start? And in particular, I want to focus on the start for the Christian. You see, there's nobody here tonight who was born a Christian in a physical sense. You might have parents who are Christians, but just because you've got parents who are Christians doesn't make you a Christian because you're born into their family. The only way that you can become a Christian is if you personally accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. That's the only way it happens. All right, so this becoming a Christian is the start of a journey in your life, a pilgrimage, like a pioneer. And there is, I suppose, a bit of a lead up to that taking place, isn't there? You see, for a person to become a Christian, they first of all, they need to hear the gospel. Now, I don't know many of you here, and I don't know whether you've heard the gospel or not. But the gospel is very simple, and that is that Jesus, he came to this earth as a man, and he came to die for your sin. You see, all of us here are sinners. I'm a sinner. Brother Buddy's a sinner. Your camp leaders, the camp directors, they're sinners. There's no one in this room who's not a sinner. And indeed, that's why Jesus came, because all of us have sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. So we understand that. No one's better than anybody else. So for anybody to start this journey, to start this pilgrimage, this pioneering, as it were, in their life as a believer, as a Christian, there is a process of perhaps hearing the gospel, being stirred in your heart by the Holy Spirit, who points out to you and you understand that you're a sinner, and that by faith, when you respond to the gospel and believe on the Lord Jesus, you enter into a relationship with God and you start your journey. Do you understand that? Very, very important you understand that. You're not born into it through your family. You're born into it through the Holy Spirit of God when you call out in repentance and by faith on the Lord Jesus Christ as a sinner, believing that he died for you and that he rose again, and then you get saved. We use the word saved, born again, you become a believer, you become a Christian. They mean the same thing. But that's when you start your journey. There's a bit of a process perhaps leading up to it, but you become a Christian just like that when you call upon the name of the Lord. I want to talk about that some more. Not tonight, but just to make mention of that, because that's the most important thing. I don't want to miss those opportunities. But then we have, in this journey, how we need to continue in it. How do you continue as a Christian? How do you continue in this journey? Is there things that I have to do? Is there things that God expects from me? Is there a certain way that God wants me to live my life? Absolutely. You say, how could I find that? Well, that's why we have the Word of God. It gives us all the information we need. All right, so we have the start. Then we have our lives that we live. Now, all of us here, if you're saved, and on that journey, we're all at different stages, aren't we? None of us are exactly the same. We're all individuals. You know, that's a wonderful thing, because I can have a relationship with God, my Heavenly Father, and you can have a relationship with God, your Heavenly Father, all at the same time. We don't have to be at the same stage. We don't have to be at the same point on the road or in our journey or anything else. That's not how it works. Now, how it works is I get saved and then God leads me down the paths and roads of life. And as I continue, I'm working towards a destination. The finish. I want to read for you a verse in Acts chapter 20. You might like to turn there if you know where it is. If not, that's fine. You can just listen. But in Acts chapter 20, and Paul is giving his testimony here to the elders of the church at Ephesus. And he gives them a bit of an overview, as it were, of his journey. In a physical sense, but also in a spiritual sense, this journey that he's on. Now, I want to read the whole journey that he talks about, but I do want to mention something here, because this is something that Paul had in mind somewhere along through his journey, and I believe all of us need to have this in mind as we head towards the finish line or towards the destination. Acts chapter 20 and verse, let's just read a couple of verses so you get the flow into the verse I want to look at in verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That was the message he preached. Repentance and faith. That's how you get saved. Repentance and faith through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said this. He said, I've been on a journey. It's not been an easy journey. It's not been an easy road. Now, if you want to look at some of the things that Paul went through, nothing that he did would you probably be able to compare to. Most people wanted to kill him. Many times there were attempts at his life. The afflictions and suffering that he went through, most probably none of us would ever have to do. But Paul said this, none of these things move me. None of those things concern me. None of the difficulties and problems in my life, in my journey that I had, in my pilgrimage towards my destination, ever bothered me because of something very important. He said, I want to finish my course with joy. I want to finish well. Now, young people, I hope you've started the journey. I don't know your hearts tonight. I can't see inside. I can only see the outside. And from what I can see, most of you look pretty sharp. You're pretty awake. You're pretty alert. What's happening in your heart? Has there been something happening there yet? Has the Holy Spirit come into your life? Have you started the journey? Well, if you have, what a blessing. But now you've got the rest of your life, and there's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of things that I have absolutely no idea. You know, probably 4 or 5 years ago, I would have had no idea that I was going to be pastoring in Katherine, the Northern Territory. There's people here, young people, You had no idea that your parents were going to move 1 year, 2 years, 3 years ago. You had no idea you're going to have to change schools. You had no idea you're going to have to find new friends. You had no idea that your world may have been turned upside down through some personal problems and struggles in your life. You had no idea. You know, that's normal for life. Everybody goes through problems. Everybody goes through some hard times in life. But you know something? I'd rather have Jesus in my life and go through those hard times than face them alone. Because I know the Lord Jesus cares. And Paul had such a relationship with the Lord Jesus, he said, none of those things bothered me. None of those things moved me. Why? Because I'm looking at the finish line, I'm looking at where my destination is, and I want to finish with some joy. I want to look back at my life and say, you know what? I wasn't perfect, I didn't make all the right decisions, but I had a heart for God, I had a heart for people that I wanted to share the gospel with them, I wanted to live my life in such a way I had an influence for good in this world. I want to finish well. You know, sadly, there are a lot of young people who get saved young, and they don't finish the course, they don't finish their journey well. They don't do that. That's very disappointing. I've seen a lot of young people in my life. I think I'm still young. I'm not getting any younger. But I can remember when I was a young person, probably 14, 15. You know, that's a very vulnerable time of your life. 14, 15, 16, 17, 8. You're making some big decisions then. I look back now after nearly 30 years and I could probably count on one hand out of probably close to 100 young people who were in church, who were in youth groups, who were at youth camps, started the journey, professed they knew Jesus as their own personal Saviour, and today they're nowhere to be found. Some of them have gone to early graves. Some of them have messed up their lives and those around them. Some of them have done well in business. Some have become popular. Some have become maybe famous. But they're not going to finish well. They're not going to finish with joy. Now, even though all of us are going to have a different journey, aren't we? All of us. We're all individuals. I believe that the Bible gives us principles that apply to all of us. They apply to every one of us. You say, well, doesn't that just apply to you? No, it doesn't just apply to me. It applies to you. And if you'll take a simple approach to what the Word of God has to say, it'll make life a lot easier. If you look at the Bible, you look at the Word of God, you think, well, that's pretty complicated, that looks pretty hard. Guess what? That's probably how your life is going to be as well. I'm not saying your life's going to be easy, but I'm saying this, it'll be a whole lot easier if you just approach it with some simplicity. Keep it simple. Just follow God, obey His Word, and guess what? It'll work. Now, I'm going to probably try and make that a little bit more to it than that, as we could finish tonight and go home. There's a lot more to it. But the reality is that our lives as individuals can be lived by the principle of the Word of God, and you can finish the journey well. You can finish it well. You say, will I make lots of money? Don't worry about the money. Will I be popular? Don't worry about being popular. Will I be happy? No, you'll be better than happy. You'll be joyful. You say, what is this what is a biblical definition of a pilgrim or a, I used the term stranger before, because that's going to help us to understand part of this journey. All right? It's going to help us understand. Now, let's just have a look at a couple Bible verses just to show us where it's found in Scripture. But in back in Hebrews 11, we were there just before. If you have got a finger there in Hebrews 11, turn back there. We didn't read this verse, but I want to read it for us, and then I'm going to give you the Bible definition of what we're looking at, what we ought to be. It'll help you. Hebrews chapter 11. Back there in Hebrews 11 and verse 13. Now up until this point, the writer of Hebrews has talked about Abel, he's talked about Enoch, he's talked about Noah, he's talked about Abraham, he's talked about Isaac and Jacob, Sarah. And then verse 13, he gives us something here of what they were in on the earth. Okay? What they were on the earth. Verse 13 says this: "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." You say, what does that mean? Well, this group of people, this group of those who were believers, they looked at things that had been promised to them, but they didn't receive those things that had been promised to them. That's not an easy thing, is it? When something is promised, but you don't receive it. Well, in this case, they accepted the fact that even though they hadn't received them yet, they still would receive those things at some point, even though they would die. They were persuaded. They embraced those promises and said, "That belongs to me." How'd they do that? By faith. Now, we're going to look a bit more at faith. That's a very important part of the journey. Faith is essential. We're not going to look at that tonight. All right? But they confessed, or they admitted, that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims on the earth in the journey that they are in. You say, what does a stranger mean? It means a stranger. Well, it also means a foreigner. A foreigner. And we could say someone from another place. Same thing for a pilgrim. One who sojourns, or one who travels in a strange place away from one's own people. One who has no fixed address. It's a pilgrim. No fixed address. Now, where does it say that they were strangers, foreigners, travellers with no fixed address on the earth? On the earth. That's very interesting, isn't it? Do you know, all of us, believe it or not, we all live on this earth. There's no extraterrestrials here tonight. We all live here. But did you know that if you're a believer, if you've been born again, you're a Christian, the Bible refers to you, refers to me, as being a pilgrim and a stranger. Someone who is just travelling through. Someone who's on a journey. Someone who has no fixed address here. Someone, you could say, who does not fit. Someone who feels a little out of place. Do you know, young people, just pay attention. When you're around certain people who don't love the Lord Jesus, and they're doing things and they're saying things or watching things or listening to things or going to places, and maybe you're with that group and you feel really uncomfortable, do you know why? It's because you don't fit. Now, that's not a bad thing. That's a wonderful thing. Because that's the Holy Spirit saying to you, you belong to me. You don't belong to this earth. You say, but I like to fit in. I like to feel like people like me. I don't want to be in a crowd and everybody looks at me like I'm weird. You know what I would say to you? Find a new group of people where you don't feel weird. I'm serious. That's what it means to you. Until perhaps you feel bold enough and you feel strong enough to go to anyone you want and share the gospel with them, maybe you just need to spend time with some other Christians and get a bit of strength up so you can face those who belong to this world. You know why you don't belong to this world? Because you have a different father. You know, the Bible says that the devil is the god of this world. Every person is not saved, he's their father. But when you get saved, you get a new parent. You get a heavenly father. And you become a misfit. But something that we do become, and this is absolutely wonderful thought. Have a look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and verse 20, Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says this, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." You know something? The Bible says if you've been born again, your conversation is in heaven. You know that word conversation, what it means? It means citizenship. It means that if you're saved, you now are a citizen of heaven. If you've been born in Australia, what does that make you? Australian citizen. Yeah, you belong to Australia. As far as your nationality is concerned, you're an Australian. Why? Because that's where you're a citizen. But did you know something? That when you get born again, instead of your citizenship being here on this world and belonging to this world system, you now become a citizen of heaven. And as far as God is concerned, he sees you seated in heaven. It's just you have a journey here in this world, in this life. You just don't belong. That's nothing to be ashamed of. That's nothing to be embarrassed about. That's nothing to feel sorry for yourself about, the fact that you don't fit anymore. No, that's the most wonderful thing. You say, why is that? Well, do you know something really sad? For every single person who doesn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, do you know where they're going to spend eternity? They're going to spend eternity in a devil's hell. That's what the Bible teaches. They'll spend eternity in a devil's hell. The choice is simple. You can choose for your citizenship to be in heaven by accepting Jesus Christ, or you can continue on in this life, in this other journey that you're on. Try and make the best of it as you can, but end up dying like everybody else and spending an eternity in a place you never want to be. Strangers and pilgrims. It's going to be an interesting few days as we consider these thoughts, and I trust and I pray that you've been praying and asking God to speak to your heart. I know there's been a lot of people that have been praying for you. For every individual here tonight, they've been praying for you. And I want you to pay attention. Not because of who's speaking, but because it's the Word of God and God wants to speak to your heart. And I'd like to think that as a result of this week, there'd be someone here this week who'd say, you know what? I want to get on that journey. I want to know what it is to experience God working in my heart and in my life. I'm pretty frustrated with the way the world's headed. and I want to live for Jesus. I hope there's somebody this week who would say, that's my desire. And we'll ask God to do that in every heart and life, so that nobody would go away without having made some decision, and may that decision be for the Lord. We'll leave it there tonight.